Nehemiah chapter 4. The sword and trowel. Number one, malice. Number two, menace. And number three, mess. Big time. John Bunyan was an illiterate tinker. He learned to read by reading the Bible. He became a literary genius with a creative mind that caught everybody's imagination. And in my humble opinion, wrote the book next best to the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress. As a boy, I learned this mighty hymn, taken from Pilgrim's Progress. Who would true valor see? Let him come hither. One here will constant be. Come wind, come weather. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent. His first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Whoso beset him round with dismal stories do but themselves confound. His strength the more is. No lion can him fright. He'll with a giant fight, but he will have the right to be a pilgrim. Hobgoblin nor foul fiend can daunt his spirit. He knows he at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies fly away. He'll fear not what men say. He'll labor night and day to be a pilgrim. Hobgoblins and foul fiends come to Jerusalem. You remember last week, there is a unity and a strategy and an energy as the man of vision and passion and action and unction mobilizes the people. We have a living example of how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. And Jerusalem, you remember, is now like a builder's yard. And everybody is doing something. Some people are digging. Other people are mixing. Others are carrying and fetching. Others are carving and smelting. Some are brushing up. Others making the equivalent of a cup of tea. But everybody is doing the work. They've got a mind to work. And it's wonderful to behold. But the universal testimony of the Bible from Genesis through to Revelation is this. When the people of God say, we will arise and build, the enemy of God says, we will arise and oppose. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a genius. He had a photographic memory. He had encyclopedic knowledge. He could process 8 thoughts at once. But he was a man who loved God and loved the proclamation of his word and produced a magazine and called it The Sword and Trowel. He based it from Nehemiah chapter 4. And in his first article, he called it a record of combat with sin and labor for the Lord. We find here in this chapter of the sword and trowel, number one, this is about malice. As malicious wagging tongues, vicious negative criticism is met with prayer and persistence. Let's follow, shall we? Now, when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged. And he jeered at the Jews. And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah, the Ammonite, was beside him, and he said, "Yes, what they are building, if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt, and let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Negative criticism, malicious, vicious, sarcastic, spiteful words. You know, the Bible tells us that lying between our jaws is the greatest assassin of all, sharper than a blade, more deadly than a bullet. The tongue, capable of creating a fire, an uncontrollable fire. Can you hear them? You feeble, half-wit Jews. Can you hear the anti-Semitism in the voice of Sanballat? Anti-Semitism is an evil. It's an evil. It always has been. It is in our day to day. It must be resisted. You half-wit, pathetic Jews. There isn't a construction engineer among you. There isn't a master builder among you. What do you think you're doing? It's a joke. This building project is a laughing stock. He's standing, remember, with Samaritan army by him, overlooking this project. The enemies of God. And then see what happens. Tobiah, verse 3. The Ammonite, standing beside him, he pipes up. "Listen, if a fox was just to put its paw on this wall, it would fall down. You're wasting your time. You're a pathetic lot. And nothing will come of this." Critics run with critics. Never forget that. If you're a critic in the sense of a critical tongue, not in a sense of observation, but a sarcastic, nasty, critical tongue who wants to knock, knock, knock all the time, 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 repent. Look what happens. Nehemiah, he meets this malice with prayer and with persistence. Listen to his prayer. "Hear us. Help us. Vindicate your own name. He's not crying for vengeance. He's crying for the vindication of God's own name. This is your cause. This is your city. We are your people. It is your glory that is at stake. Literally, the preservation of the line and seed of Messiah is in this project. This is not just about building bricks and building walls. This is about your kingdom and cause in the earth. Hear us. Help us. Vindicate your own name. Do not allow the enemies of your cause and kingdom to succeed. Do not cover their guilt. Let not their sin be blotted out from your sight. They have provoked you to anger in the presence of the builders. Strong words. And not just meant with prayer. Because you remember what we learned the first week. The one concern of the devil is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toils. He mocks at our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray. Remember what we learned? That prayer is that slender sinew that moves the muscle of divine omnipotence. Nehemiah is a man of prayer. And he cries out to God in prayer. But not only so, he persists. Look, verse 6. So we built the wall. And all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. Keep on keeping on. Keep on building. You know the story of Christopher Columbus, who set off to discover the New World in 1492. Halfway through his journey, they begin to run out of rations. There's a sense of mutiny on board. There's no wind to keep him going. They're wondering where they are. Are they ever going to get to where they're supposed to be going? And he writes in his ship's journal, day after day, the same words, sailed on, sailed on, sailed on, sailed on, sailed on. There are times in our Christian experience when we're being criticized and knocked from pillar to post, when all we can do is say, Lord, give me the strength to build on, to carry on, to be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. After the malice comes the menace. And look at it. For we read, but when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we pray to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. See what is happening here? There is now a united conspiracy. What's happening is there are powerful enemies who are joining together in their wrath and in their anger against this city, against the work which Nehemiah and the people of God are undertaking. And will you notice, from the north they came, Sanballat and the Samaritans. From the east they came, Tobiah and the Ammonites. From the south they came, Geshem and folks from Arabia. And then we find that the Ashdodites, the Philistines, you know that the Philistines were enemies of the Jews. They come. So from north and east and south and west, they converge Jerusalem is surrounded and there is a vicious conspiracy. We're going to join together. There's no way out of this. You are surrounded. You are outnumbered. Your task will not be completed. You know, the Bible tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Quite literally, I want you to know this. This is not hyperbole. All of hell is unleashed against your soul. And the devil and all his cohorts will do all that they can and will give no let up till the moment you breathe your last breath to keep you from entering into the kingdom of God. And in the cause of Christ, the Christian life is not a playground. It is a battleground. We don't fight this fight in this armchair of comfort. We fight it in the arena of conflict. And all the powers surround Jerusalem. The devil will do his damnedest to surround and to destroy the cause of Christ on earth. Its menace, they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion. Look how it's met. With prayer and with action. And we pray to our God and set a guard as a protection against them day and night. Prayer, Vance Hanmer said, when a man makes alliance with the Almighty, giants look like grasshoppers. Nehemiah, he has an alliance with the Almighty. He cries out to God again. But not only does he cry out to God, he sets a guard as a protection against them day and night. There is faith and there is works. He mobilizes the people. He arms the people. Now listen, we're going to do something about this. Our God is with us and we must do what we can against the enemies of his cause and his kingdom. Menace, a vicious conspiracy met with prayer and action. Lastly, this is about mess. For we read, in Judah. Pardon? In Judah? In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. Too much mess. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. And our enemy said, they will not know or see till we come among them and kill them and stop the work. At that time, the Jews who lived near them came from all directions and said to us 10 times, you must return to us. So, in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, in open places, I stationed the people by their clans with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome. and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we labored at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at that time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labor by day. So neither I nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand. Can you see why Charles Haddon Spurgeon called this the sword and trowel? A trowel in one hand to build, a sword in the other to defend. What a picture of building and of battling. That's the picture of the Christian life, friend. Building, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Building up yourself in the love of God. And battling against the world and the flesh and the devil. Against the enemy of our souls. Against the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. That's the Christian life. See what happens here? What a mess we've got. Judah, the most unlikely source. Judah, you remember, that was the royal tribe. Judah, you remember, they're the soldiers. They're the brave ones. They're the ones who go out first and foremost. But from Judah, we find now, they're saying, it's just too much for us. It's a mess. Look at the rubble all around us. Not only so, we're all worn out, we're all weary, the enemy's too strong and we're too weak and the project is too big and we just can't carry on. And we should be listening to what our neighbouring Jews are saying to us. They've told us not once or twice, they've told us 10 times, look, think about this project, give it up. It's all too much. Actually, by the time you get to Nehemiah chapter 6, you see why the tribe of Judah is like it is. Sadly, Judah is cooperating with the enemy. Listen to me. Don't be taken in by how people look or how people sound. Or what title people give themselves. They were in cohorts with the enemy, doing his work for him. Judah, what are you doing? But look, it's a mess. The rubble's all over the place. We're never going to be able to do this. It's all too much. But look how it's met. It's met with strong leadership, that's for sure. It's met with a heart of prayer. It's met with a will to fight. It's met with a zeal for the Lord of hosts. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Hear our prayer, O Lord. He's already said that. He prays again to God, verse 9. The people have a mind to work, verse 6. They had this word of faith given to them. Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And they have a will to fight. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives and your homes. Hey, listen. What a genius Nehemiah was. He gets people to build around the house where they live. That's wise, isn't it? Then he says, protect your own family. This is not a fight for bricks and mortar. This is a fight for your wife, for your kids. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this much. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We no longer need swords and clubs and bows and arrows. It's not the Christian's task to wave banners and go on marches and join in force. But I tell you what, there is a battle for family life in this day and age. And a battle for families in this church, that's for sure. If you're a Christian man here, do you pray with your wife and pray for your wife and pray with your kids and for your kids? And will you protect them and do all you can? Family life is in a mess. Oh, look, have a heart to fight. Not with fisticuffs and swords and spears and bows and arrows or guns, but with a heart of prayer. And with real leadership. And with a zeal for the Lord of hosts. Amazing what happens in this passage. Alan Redpath said, the people had a mind to work, verse 6, a heart to pray, verse 9, an eye to watch, verse 9, and an ear to hear, verse 20. And that particular sentence, an ear to hear, verse 20, struck my mind. This, we're all going to be spread out here, but listen, if you hear the sound of the trumpet, there will be a rallying point. Of course, in Old Testament history, you find very often people blow the shofar and people blow sounds which God's ancient people responded to and still respond to today, actually. But where in the Bible do you find the sound of the trumpet? At the blast of the trumpet, when the invasion army of King Jesus comes from heaven to earth, when in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead will be raised, incorruptible. I spent all last weekend watching my sister, who I love very much, die. All sorts of memories came flooding back. Whole family around the bed for days. You begin to understand again what Paul meant when he said, the last enemy is death. It is an enemy. It's not natural. And to see someone fighting for life, to watch the struggle. But you know, in the fight of faith, the last enemy, the king of terrors, is met by the King of Kings. And the assurance that it's earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, but in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection from the dead and of life everlasting through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John Samuel Bewley Monsell, was born and raised in Londonderry, but he was an Irish Anglican minister. And he served in churches in England too. He was involved in 3 building projects throughout his ministry. Imagine that. We've only had one here. That was enough. 3 building projects. The last building project he was involved in, he was on the roof doing the work. You see, Nehemiah, he doesn't just stand and observe this, is he? He's an example. He's got grit in his beard, and, hasn't he? He's got segs on his hands, hasn't he? He's doing the work with them. In his last building project, this man fell from the roof. He didn't recover. Later on, because of these injuries, he would die. But far worse than him falling off the roof was his fight of faith, finding that 2 of his children, Thomas, who was 18 years of age, and Elizabeth, who was 28 years of age, both of them lost their lives tragically. Can you imagine that? You see, it puts context to the hymn that he wrote. Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and see his face. Life with its way before you lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on your guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust, and your trusting soul shall prove Christ is its life, and Christ its love. As you go home today, I want you to take these lessons home with you. Remember, do not listen to the voice of hate. Don't. You go to work tomorrow. Maybe some of you in your home. Maybe some of your neighbours. You feeble Christians. Do you think you can do anything? You mean you're going to have a prayer meeting on Wednesday? Do you know what? There'll be about 30 people at that prayer meeting. Think you can do anything with 30 people praying? Look at you. Come on, come and have a look. Are we going to turn this world upside down? You pathetic lot. Don't bother praying. Don't bother building. Don't listen to the voice of hate. And don't listen to the voice of doubt. We're too weak. The work's too much. We'll never make it. It's blow after blow after blow after blow after blow after blow after blow. Yes, it is. And it's one day at a time, walking with him who took all the blows and being steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And do listen to the voice of faith. Remember the Lord. Remember how great he is. Trust in him and keep on keeping on. Let's stand and sing.